The views and opinions expressed by hosts, invited speakers, and callers do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of the Black Talk Media Project or the Black Talk Radio Network.
To the Lotus Play on this Friday evening, and you know what Friday means. It means Black Butter Love Show here at the Lotus Place on Black Talk Radio Network. How are you this evening, tonight? Well, we are having our part two of our show on good women and bad dating. Good women, bad dating. Making these bad dating choices. So we are going to try to help each other and uplift each other on this little dating thing. You know, I don't really like to say dating. I think more so just relationships. I don't really care for dating, but that's the common term, so. But we just want to help people have those happy, healthy, and wholesome Black love relationships. All right, so we're going to dig into this topic. But before I get into that, I want to share something quickly. Let me just see here. I want to play this by Nina Simone. You know, I love Nina Simone. Then we'll get right on into our topic. I want to play this on Nina Simone and that blackness. We like to keep it black.
I think what you're trying to ask is, why am I so insistent upon giving out to them that blackness, that black power, that black pushing them to identify with black culture? I think that's what you're asking. I have no choice over it. In the first place, to me, we are the most beautiful creatures in the whole world, black people. I mean, and I mean that in every sense, outside and inside. And to me, we have a culture that is surpassed by no other civilization, but we don't know anything about it. So again, I think I've said this before in the same interview, I think, at some time before, my job is to somehow make them curious enough or persuade them by hook or crook to get more aware of themselves and where they came from and what they are into and what is already there, and just to bring it out. This is what compels me to compel them. And I will do it by whatever means necessary. When I'm finished working, as tired as I am, and my work completely takes all my energy, unfortunately. But when there are kids who come backstage afterwards who want to talk or who are moved to the point, sometimes they're moved to tears. I want to know more about it, and they shake my hand and they kiss me and they want to talk about their problems. I find the time to do so as much as I can. I discourage breakfasts and speeches because I don't make speeches, but I will go out of my way, in spite of the fact that I'm too tired to do it, to talk to them at least for 5 minutes or so, to sock to them the same message that I just finished doing on stage, and perhaps to hear some of their grievances, or just to make them feel that they're not alone. Because when you have a few colored kids in a huge white college, any way you cut it, they are alienated and they feel it. So when I come, I feel a responsibility. They're so glad to see me because I represent something to them. And I can't give them enough, you know. They need me. And when I need it, I have to give. I curse myself afterwards for having no voice, usually, and being so exhausted that I can't do anything for myself. But when they need me more. And the most important thing is, they are our future. It's an investment as far as I am concerned. When I invest time in young people from colleges, I know that I'm going to get that bread back. You know, bread cast upon the water comes back. Because when I see them doing their thing one day and I'm too old to do anything but sit and look at them, I'm going to say, well, I was part of that. I never intend for my children to look at me and be ashamed and say, Mama, why didn't you do something? I will have done mine.
Pathways of my
mind. And so every time I talk to them, it's an investment.
It's an investment. It's an investment, Delta. Delta, we got to invest in these children. We were just talking about that. Debbie,
yes,
you're
absolutely correct.
Yes, and that's why we're trying to help these people. Send me that topic that you want us to discuss one day next week.
I want to talk about next Wednesday night, deadbeat moms, and we got deadbeat fathers. It's not only the fathers, but you got some deadbeat mothers and fathers. Mm-hmm. And we got them in our community. And we got to talk about it, what's really going on. A lot of people don't want to hear this, but it's really the truth. You got some young people in the community. I know I have a nephew. I'm speaking on it, what's going on in my family. And and I have a nephew. He's in his last year of school. He's in the 12th grade. And my baby brother, he has one son, and he tucked my nephew under his wing. My nephew, and he's a good boy. I mean, he's a kid that don't get in no trouble. He's an A and B student, plays football. And my brother tucked him under his wing. His mother didn't want him. She didn't have time. She in the street doing her thing. Then his daddy married another woman. And won't even come and spend 1 ounce of time with him. It's just a sad situation all year round. And this is this young man last year high school. He playing football.
He needs his father.
And if none of my family members go and sit in the stand, his mother will be nowhere to be found. Then on top of that, one of his sisters graduated last year. Do you not know that his own mother didn't even come to her own child's graduation? Her daughter graduated from high school and the child was so hurt because her other family members was there and her own mom wasn't even there. And this is what I'm talking about, deadbeat parents. And we all can say that we know somebody who's like that. Ain't no need us kidding ourselves. We may not say it, but we know somebody in the community that's like that. And it's up to us in the community that seem to be doing a little better than some other ones is to try to reach out to those kids who need someone just to show them love and a helping hand.
I agree with you. I agree. We all have to reach back and give back and touch those and just help out. I know we were talking about how, like, when we were doing something inappropriate, it was okay for, you know, the neighbors or the other women in the church or whatever to say something, and they would tell us, I'm going to tell your mom, I'm going to tell your dad. And we were just as terrified and frightened and like, oh my God, you know, let me run home and tell mama right quick before the neighbor do and explain my side of the situation. You know, we just had that reverence.
Yeah, but you write a share, but I mean, Black Rose, but do you not know when I was coming up, I'm older than you. Uh-huh. If the parent, if the neighbor came and told your mother them something, you weren't even allowed to explain yourself. Uh-huh. You was already in trouble.
Uh-huh.
You didn't even try to explain yourself. They didn't even allow you, when I was coming up, to say one word against an older person.
Oh, no.
You were not even allowed to say one word against an older person. That was just disrespectful when we was coming up.
Yeah.
But now the kids today, they are so disrespectful.
Oh my God.
I know.
Some of them are. I mean, I really do see why some men don't stop and try to tell the other young boys, you know, pull your pants up, because you just don't know what these children would say. Because like I was saying, when I was trying to speak to the young lady about her little panties that she had on in the store, she told me she's grown and I don't need to say anything to her and, you know, things like that. And I talked to Mother Hattie. Mother Hattie is on the line with us. Welcome in, Mother Hattie. How are you? I said, hi.
Great.
Yes. And I was talking to Mother Hattie. I said, hi, about, you know, approaching our young sisters, because Mother Issa Hart is always working with young people in the community. And so she gave me some advice on how to just have a conversation, start a conversation with young women. And I thought that was very, very good, because I'm growing and I'm learning. I'm very harsh with my words and comments. I'm learning how to soften that a little bit and be a little more diplomatic. And I'm learning that from both of you, Delta and Issa Hyde, on how to be a little more diplomatic in my conversations with people. So I'm gonna
and one thing about that.
Uh-huh.
And I'd like to say on behalf of you, Black Rose, and Issa Hyde, that's one thing I have learned being around Issa Hyde. She really tries to take interest. Like I have told people this many, many times. Y'all have heard me say this on the radio. Just me being around Issa Hyde, I have seen her try to take many, many young girls and mentor them. Many of them. And try to mentor them. But a lot of them won't stay on the task. And she has done many things to try to keep them on task.
Uh-huh.
But a lot of them won't stay on task. And I hate to use this word, but I have to break it down for you, how the young folks said, break it down so I can understand. A lot of them is chasing penises. That's what it's all about. You know, I'm just being honest. The young girls today act like they got to have a piece of penis, act like they got to have a man. And the young boys, too. They act like they got to have a woman. I know I have a boy that's 31 years old, my baby. And every week, he's with a different woman. Every week.
Is this the one that's working or not working?
He is not working at this time.
How does he find all these women?
And listen, one teeth out the front of his mouth. And the women just go on and on and on. I never seen anything.
They fight over him and everything. That's one thing that we're talking about tonight, too. Women making these bad dating choices. Like, but what I don't understand is, like, okay, so if he's not working, what do they do? Like, as far as, like, going out together and spending time together.
The women pay for everything. I never seen anything like this.
And it's okay to go Dutch or pay for a date
These women pay for everything. I never seen any women so stupid. They are so stupid. I hate to say it. They pay for everything. There's no way that I'm going to pay for a man.
They come pick them up.
Come pick
them
up
on the day too, huh?
That is correct. And pay for it. It's sad, though. But that's what that's a mighty poor woman with low self-esteem to let a man do that.
Wow.
That's just the way I see it. You got to have really low self-esteem. And a bunch of them, the majority of them, mm-hmm. have a nest behind of them. And
a
when
what?
I say a whole nest.
Oh, a nest. A whole lawn.
Yeah, like when you have a bird, a bitty, they have a whole bunch of little bitties. And my mother used to call them a nest, so they have a whole bunch of them in the nest. And what I'm saying, and the girls, they have 5 and 6 kids, sometimes even more. And don't you know, I would be scared to constantly change companionship, and I have kids in my home. And I also like, let me jump from one thing. I just thought about this. You know, they said on the news last week they had found, well, about 3 months ago, they had found a skull in the river. And I forgot where it was, but I know it was breaking news today on CNN. And they figured that the little girl, skull was about, she was between the age of 2 and 3. So sure enough, somebody called in with a tip and told them who it was. The little girl was 3 years old. And they arrested the mother and the boyfriend. And the mother told them that the Department of Human Services had took the little girl. Don't you know she lying for this guy? It's a little Caucasian girl. Don't you know that she was lying for her boyfriend? Her boyfriend killed her 3-year-old child. And he had to kill the baby when she was 2 years old. And the mother is lying and covering for this man and still living and laying up sleeping with this man. And this man killed her child.
Well, you know what? I have a friend that works CPS, and she shares some of her horror stories of when she had to come in the home to remove some of these children because of the mother's boyfriend. He has, you know, record for molesting children or some things like that, and the children have accused him of molesting them, and the mother refuses to have the guy leave the home. I mean. And my friend who works for CPS said that she's even told the mother, and she would tell some of these mothers, if you must date him, do that, but you cannot have him in the house with the children. And they still will not remove this man from the house. They just will not do it. So I think it's great to be in relationships. I think relationships are great, healthy relationships that are non-toxic. But when you have these people like that are molesting children or have these issues and all of this, all these kinds of things going on, you can do better, baby. You can do better. There are so many men out here looking for good women.
Uh-huh. But you know what?
Women looking for good men.
You're right. But when they started molesting, I know this kind of moving off our subject a little bit, but when they started molesting kids, we need to start doing like they do overseas in the foreign country. They cut penises off, and they take that hand that you use to put the penis in, they cut it off. They cuts off the penis, and they cuts off the hand.
Okay.
And we need to start doing some of that over here.
You think we need to start doing that, Delta?
We sure do. We sure do. We need to start doing it. And then they'll think about before they go touching these kids or molesting these kids.
Oh my God. Maybe they will. Maybe that's something, I don't know. Maybe that's something, we need to think about some type of, repercussions for molesting these children. Because I don't know if jail is the proper recourse for that. I don't know if that's, you know, what should happen with people, because some people say that pedophilia and molestation, that's an illness. So, I mean, is jail really going to stop them from doing that? But I don't know. But I know one thing. I know these women need to make some better choices with dating. I know I had to check myself a long time ago in terms of my dating and who I was selecting. I was blaming it on the men, like, oh, he's an idiot, he's a fool. But you know what? He was an idiot and a fool when I met him. You know, so he didn't just all of a sudden change. Although some people will play that game, you know, that after the first 3 months or so, that's when you can really see a person. Yeah.
Now you really do. Some people, when you are dating, they really, you know, they really have that.
Yeah,
they really.
I have a friend. Well, not, well, she wasn't my friend. She was my dad's former wife's friend. She was dating this man, look, 5 years. 5 years they were dating. Wonderful relationship. They had gone on trips with friends and all of this. Just everything was just wonderful and beautiful on the path of marriage and all of that. All of a sudden, they're all sitting down at dinner, at a dinner function. The man starts tripping, just start going all sideways. Come to find out, he has stopped taking his medication. The man was, you know, kind of bipolar, schizophrenia, and had stopped taking his medication and slipped out. And she never knew. And you think after 5 years, you think you know somebody. You think, kind of, sort of, at least kind of know them. But, you know, things like that happen. So, I think there's some deep investigation that we have to really talk to these people, really ask them some questions, really watch them. And I know some women, they will go through a man's medicine cabinet. Have you ever gone through a man's medicine cabinet before, Delta?
No, I haven't. You know what? And I must say this. God has been good to me, and I must say this. He has really been good to me. I never had to do that, and I never met nobody. I have never dated anybody that was on medicine when I met them. You know, had issues. I really haven't. So,
mm-hmm. I've gone through a man's medicine cabinet because I wanted to make sure they didn't have something, you know, disease-wise. At that time, I wasn't even thinking about, like any kind of mental issues. I was more so thinking about, let me see the kind of, does he have some kind of filling in his cabinet? Does he have something for some kind of little sexually transmitted disease I need to know about? Yeah, I'll check that medicine cabinet. I have. I've done that before. So, what about you, Aisha Hot? Aisha,
what?
I know you discuss people with mental
No. issues. No, I haven't, haven't had to check any medicine cabinets because, you know, it's not that many been around for me to do that. A couple I had when I was married to them, and neither one of them had that as an issue. Well, maybe the one needed some medicine.
Yeah, maybe they needed some and didn't have it. They needed to go get a prescription.
Needed to check some.
Well, I have a couple of videos that I'm going to play after the break. One is, we're going to pick back up on our topic of good women and bad dating. I'll play two of these Tariq Nasheed videos. Some of the points that he brings out, I can kind of agree with, some kind of questionable, and then I want to come compared him to another brother called, his name Ralph. He has a YouTube channel, Infinite Water. What is it? Infinite Water? Yeah, tell them to watch their feet. No, they had it. Infinite Water. And he is going to talk about what men look for in women. Because I think a lot of times we get confused in terms of, like, what men are really seeking, and we go all the way out trying to do all of this other off-the-wall stuff to please men and to chase men and have a man. I've gone through that whole little spell, too, of just trying to give my all to somebody that didn't deserve 2 cents. So I want to pick up on some of those videos and topics. But, Delta, do you have any hot news topics for us before we go to our break. Hot news topics, Delta? Uh-oh, we lost Delta. Okay. All right, Delta, we lost you. Well, one hot news topic that I would like to bring up is the Republican debate. And this lady that is, I think she's, where's Delta? She's a CEO of Hewlett Packard, or was CEO of Hewlett Packard. And this lady was talking about who to give bombs to and all of this kind of stuff. And I said, what these people, this is all they talk about is bombing people and who can have a bomb and who can't have a bomb and all of that. And there's no talk about eradicating poverty or homelessness, nothing like that. It's just all debates on bombs and Barack Obama being a Muslim and all of this kind of foolery. And I'm like, these people are still on this absolute nonsense. Oh, I hear a dial tone. Where is that coming from?
Hello?
Hey, my friend, I was trying to dial her in. I'm sorry. She on that, y'all. I'm sorry.
So, anyway, Delta, do you have some hot news topics?
Yes, I sure do.
Okay.
Also, like to talk about the young man that was up in Los Angeles, California, the young man that's 16 years old.
I saw the video on Facebook. Now, you know, made it to CNN, and now it's being shown everywhere. A young boy that was getting out of school, his daddy or grandfather, one of them, is a minister, come from a very prominent family. The young man was walking home from the school, and the lady says all the child did was, like, jaywalk. You know how you, it's how they do in the city, and his daddy, no, I'm not from the city. So they said the young boy was jaywalking.
Uh-huh.
The police came up and began to manhandle the young man and took out a stick and began to beat the young man, took the stick and beat the young man so hard on his leg, even also took the stick and punched the young man in the face with the stick. Then a whole bunch of more officers came and began to beat this young child. They beat him unmercifully for just for walking in the street. What, you know, and see,
and
this is what I'm
saying.
This is out in California. This is what makes people like me, I'm just being honest, people like me cannot hardly watch these videos. Because if I continue to watch these videos, it creates hatred in me towards the policeman. And I'm just being honest, because I see so much unjust what they are doing to the people. Uh-huh. It just makes all type of feelings and different things rise up inside of me. And it just sad the way they beat you unmercifully. Then also, they have another young man. I think this case was in Michigan.
And I don't feel sorry for this young black boy. And I must say, I do not feel sorry for Isis
Hot and Black Rose. I do not feel sorry for him at all. He claimed that something like from his football helmet, his sun visor was missing. And he walked over to this young man and asked this young man, did he take his visor off of his helmet? The young man said no. This boy got before the class a sheer, and I made it send y'all the video. If you see it, it's horrible. It is so horrible. He began to beat this young man so, and the blood was just gushing from the young man in the classroom.
Then once the young man...
Wait a minute now. Who asked him to take off his visor? Was it the teacher?
No, let me, okay. The young man that did the beating, he felt that this other young boy stole his visor off of his football helmet. It's like for sun, like to keep the sun out, or keep dirt or something out. He thought this other child took it. but the young man did not take it. And he got him in the classroom and beat this boy. You got to Google this video because it's so horrible. And he beat this young man in the classroom with all the other students there. Nobody tried to stop him. He knocked the young man down and just beat him. Oh, God, he beat him so horrible. Then once the young man was bleeding down, he began to stomp him in his face.
Oh, Jesus.
And the young man began to seize, like, you know, like go into convulsions and begin to shake and jump around.
Uh-huh.
Yes. And they charged him with second-degree murder and first-degree murder and charged him as an adult. And do you know what? Good riddance for him. He needs to be charged as an adult. I do not feel sorry for him because there are some times that you got to take responsibility for your actions.
Let's take a quick break.
I'm just being honest. We got to take responsibility for our actions.
Right. Okay, let's take a quick break and we'll come right on back.
Marie, you all...
You are tuned in to the Black Talk Radio Network. For live programming schedules, visit us on the web at blacktalkradionetwork.com.
Okay, so Delta, you were saying that he needs to take responsibility for his actions. Well,
yes.
He beat the boy like that.
We cannot defend him on this. And then we'll go back to that topic. Let me give you one more.
Okay,
and
yeah,
also, in your town, Black Rose, they had that incident where the young men was playing football and they began to fight. I mean, not fight, knock the referee down. The two young men, I thought they were Black boys, but they're not. One of them looked like, one of them is Mexican, and another, I think they're not Black, I can't call what they are. One of them I know is Mexican. But anyway, like Latino, my husband said. And one of them, they wanted to knock the referee down, but they saying, he called them, told them, you Mexicans, y'all need to speak English. And then he told one Black boy, the young man, said he called one of his friends the N-word. Then he said the coach told them to knock him down and beat his tail.
Oh, my goodness.
So he said the coach told him he needed to be taken care of. So they said they was angry for what he was saying to them, and they was angry, and they knocked him down. And so I don't think the young boys should be expelled from school. I think they should be on suspension for a while, but if the coach told them that, the coach, the one, should be held for that. So,
oh my goodness. But you know what? These children, they see so much violence on TV, and then on top of that, we live in a country that's always going to war. Yeah, and this country, that's how this country is.
They play too many video games.
Solves problems.
Video
going
games
to war.
Take over.
Well, you know what? Every Christmas, that's what's on sale, these Wii games and all these video games, and that's what the parents buy. So, you know, should parents kind of start lobbying to the video game makers about the type of video games that they're making, or do you just not buy them, or what? I mean, that's the issue right there. I don't know. I don't have children, and I don't play video games, so. But I know they have some pretty horrible games. What's that one? One of them was about strong arm robbery or something like that. I don't know. So they have all these types of games and all of these TV shows. That's what they show. And see, that's what gets me. People talk about shows like, say, Empire or Scandal or something like that. They talk about, like, Kerry Washington portraying this role of a black woman sleeping with the president, a white man, or people on Empire, but nobody's saying anything about, I don't hear too many people say anything about all the shoot 'em up bang bang movies. I mean, so like people say, there's not supposed to be one sin greater than the other. So, I mean, you know, I think we have to kind of like look at that and not be so judgmental or hypocritical sometimes things that we're addressing like that. Because if you're going to talk about one show, then look at all the shows. And I think that there's some things that you can kind of learn from some of these shows too. Like there's some shows that I may watch. I don't agree with nothing they have on there, but there's something in there that I can learn.
You're right. And then let me go to, since you said that, Black Rose, I thought about that, that Atlanta, housewife.
Yes.
And we talking about women. That's another thing. You got a lot of these young girls mimic it and pattern themselves after NeNe Leakes. Who want to be patterned after NeNe Leakes? Cussing and parading and talking. I mean, just horrible stuff. And this Atlanta housewife, where they cussing and fight. Even the other one, the one that's gone to prison, the other one, I can't even call her name, the other blackhead lady that's gone to prison. All these shows. It's just ridiculous. They got too much of trash on TV. They got so much of trash on TV. And people are looking at that trash. And these women go out and try to pattern themselves after this. They see this. This is not real. This is fantasy. And this is strictly to make money. This is not real.
It's all a show. It's TV.
It's all a show.
These people wear costumes like Nicki Minaj. This pink hair, blue hair. That's a costume. And now you see all of these young people walking around with this blue hair.
Chaka Khan dancing on the star.
Oh, is she?
Yes. And she got, girl, red hair.
She always has some kind of like red or burgundy, though. She's always worn like red or burgundy hair, though. So is it like red, or what? Is it a
red? It's like
pretty much always know
red.
How to have like red. You know, people used to say
really
that Chaka Khan was
really, really burgundy red.
I'll have to maybe pull up a picture of her.
Pull it up on Dancing with the Star.
Okay, then, Miss Chaka Khan.
And my niece came in the house the other day.
Uh-huh.
And she looked like a Hollywood hooker whore. And I just have to be honest. She had She had pink, purple, and white. And went paid
pink,
a lot
purple,
of money.
And white?
Yes.
Okay. Pink, purple, and white.
Yes, I'm telling you. And it's real hot right now. And I told my niece, you ought to be ashamed of yourself. She told me, ain't telling you, you need to sit down. She told me, this is what they wearing. So, sure enough, I looked on Facebook. You want to know anything, go to Facebook. They are on there with these new hair colors, and they wearing this pink and loud purple.
Yep. Yes, they are. That's the style, though. That means that you know, a lot of young people are doing that, but does that mean that everybody should do that, though? I mean, there are a lot of styles that I see, or that I used to see when I was younger. I didn't always adopt them, but there may have been some styles that I did And, you know, we probably can look at it, and I had to learn that from Mother Hattie too, because, you know, we come down on some of these young people about their dress and their style, but, you know, we were doing some things back in our day, maybe some of us were not.
Yeah, we made a, we all in our day made a shoulder little skin. I'm pretty sure Miss Hattie showed a little skin. I have wore a halter top, and I'm being honest. I wore a halter top. Wore little pants, called myself wearing little short pants. But it was nothing like, it was no baby, it was nothing like these girls wear today.
No, no.
There's no, it's nothing like these young people wear today.
Mm-hmm.
My brother brought a girl home and told my mother he was going to marry this girl. And she came to meet my mother for the first time. Don't you know there is no way that I will come to meet my future mother-in-law wearing Daisy Dukes? My mother told my brother these words right here. She said, you will not be with her 3 months. They had the biggest wedding you ever want to see and spent all this money. She was a school teacher. My brother had a good job. I mean, girl, this big old lavish wedding.
Uh-huh.
It didn't last 3 months.
Wait a minute. She was a school teacher and she came to meet your mother
with some
Daisy
Dukes on? With some Daisy Dukes. And she wasn't no teacher assistant. She was a school teacher.
Yeah,
and she came to meet my mother wearing Daisy Dukes. And then I guess she was trying to look young because she was older than my brother.
My brother
loved her. He didn't care. She didn't look older, but they said she was older.
Well, she had some issues going on. It makes sense now. So she probably was trying to, you know, look a little younger, feel a little younger. So she's dressing a little younger. So.
And then also, now what do y'all think about this? This is a true story, and I know this lady. Her name is Miss Aguina. And I know they'll probably say, girl, you call me Miss Aguina name by Sholie.
Oh,
Miss Aguina.
Out on Front Street.
Miss Aguina is 84. 84 now.
Don't tell me Miss Aguina got some days to do.
Miss Aguina got married last week. Miss Aguina ate a. No, wait a minute. Let me take that back. Miss Aguina is 87.
Okay.
Miss Aguina is 87, and Miss Aguina married a man last week, 51.
Oh, Miss Aguina, get your groove on, honey. I'm not mad at you, Miss Aguina. Miss Aguina said she need love.
I don't think no old woman should be married no man no 51 years old.
Men do it all the time. Why not?
Yeah. Men do that all the time.
Miss Aguina walking on a cane.
I was just telling somebody the other day, might have even been today. I'm walking on a cane, and I was trying to figure out how I could figure out to get either a doctor or a nurse. So when I get real bad off, that's 40 years old, about 20 years younger than me, and see what we can work out, because you have to be thinking ahead. Who's going to take care of me?
I know, that's right.
I miss it. I know you. I know you.
Miss Aguina, look, Miss Aguina said
you guys going to be talking about me. I guess when God blesses me with something I might need, you know, to
make it
through the life, you know, that's left.
I'm telling you, Miss Aguina wants to have fun in her golden years, and I don't blame Miss Aguina. Miss Aguina, you enjoy yourself and that little young hot thing you got, honey, Mr. Greener says she wants somebody to rub on it.
Well, but you know what? He's really, he's really not young. That's old. They both old. Old is old.
51 and 87.
I ain't talking. They both are old.
Yeah. It's not like he's a little young. 20 years
old.
Not
like he. I could see you complaining if he was 21.
Yeah, 51. I mean, he's an older man. He may have been married to. And so, do you think that's a bad dating choice? Some other Delta. Is he a good guy for her or what? Or is it just the age thing that's bothering you with that whole setup?
Well, okay. Well, I don't think, I mean, I wouldn't want it for my mother. Now, I can see a woman dating a younger man. I really can. But that, to me, just a little too young.
But that's not young. I think you're saying the difference in their age is what's bothersome to you. The difference, age difference. Well, let me ask you this, and this will help me to understand. If it was a 90-year-old man with a 50-year-old woman, how would you see it the same way?
No, I wouldn't see it the same way because to me, it's common.
Oh, okay. Well,
what you think, Maria? I got to bring my friend in. She wanted to be on. Marie, are you listening? I hope I got it on. Marie? She must have logged off. But I think that it's common for men to do it. It's not common for women to do it.
And I think that that's the whole issue, too. It's okay for men to do something like that. It's okay for men to date younger women. That's not a bad dating decision. They can date people 20, 30 years younger than them. But like when it comes to women, then we looked at like, oh my gosh, she's a cougar. Why is she dating that old man, especially like an older woman like 87? But, you know, there's some 87-year-old women. Well, I haven't seen 80. But I've seen like some 75-year-old women like in magazines that are still quite fit. They're still very healthy.
Oh, I know.
Yeah,
I know.
They're driving themselves around. They're doing all kinds of things. And I mean, their bodies are in better shape than some of these 20-year-olds. So, you know, I don't really see anything wrong with it. And if I'm not married or if I'm divorced or whatever by 80 or 90, honey, and if I meet some hot boy, some nice little 50-year-old man, I'm going to date him and do everything else I still can do. If I can still stretch and move around, I'll be stretching and moving around and doing all of that too. So, I don't see anything. You go, Mr. Gwena. Let me play this Tariq Nasheed video. It's kind of lengthy. I'm going to see if I can kind of skip to parts of it. I don't know if I'll be able to do that. But let's just start it off, and then we'll probably cut this and then pick up on part two of the video. Okay, let's see. This is Tariq Nasheed, the brother that started the Hidden Colors series, and he's talking about women who date losers. Just a second, we'll get this going. There's a television plan. Okay, let's see. Let's get this video together. One second while we get Tariq Nasheed up on this video talking about women making bad decisions. Lord have mercy. I'm going to help these sisters tonight.
But the email says, what's up, Tariq? I love your shows and your books have been great help to me. Thanks so much for what you do. I have a quick question about a friend of mine. Okay, my friend is about 28 years old, very pretty, at least to me. It seems like men think she's pretty too because she gets a lot of attention. But there's one thing that I don't understand about her, and that is she seems to be very in love with this man who's a complete loser. Okay? This nigga has 13 kids to be exact. I wonder if she's exaggerating. Or he's exaggerating. I'm trying to see if this is a woman. I can't tell if this is a man or a woman or not. I think it might be a woman. Hold on, let me look at the MySpace page. It's a chick. This is a woman asking about another. She has a friend who's dating losers. Okay, so her name is Miss Bombay. I thought this was Mr. Bombay. It's Miss Bombay. I couldn't tell. The picture was kind of funny looking. I couldn't tell if this was a man or a woman, but this is a woman. So anyway, the email goes on to say that the dude the girl is dating has 13 kids to be exact. No home, no car. He goes from woman to woman. He has proven to be a liar and a male slut. Or maybe he's just a damn good Mac, as she says. I don't know, but he has my girl's head twisted. Anyway, what kind of woman would want to be with a man like that? The killing part is that she always says she knows she can do better, but she just can't help dating losers. But she feels like she loves him as well. She says that it's his personality and how they interact with each other, the talks and the fun they have together. She says he did things with her that no guy has never really done before, like spending a lot of time with her. But he has no car, no nothing, so damn, wouldn't that explain why he kicked it with her so much? That's a good point. Very good point. It seems to be tearing her apart that he has now moved on to some other victim. She still keeps contact with him on and off. They call each other. She says that he wanted to be friends with her, so she's trying that. But I don't think it's working for her. I care about her so much because she's a beautiful person. She's a talented singer, writer, artist, blah, 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 blah. She has so much going for herself. She has no children, her own place, her own car, money, great job, she's in school, etc. And again, so many guys approach her, but she blows them off. What kind of woman acts this way, Tariq? What can I tell her to help her understand, or how can I guide her in the direction away from this loser? I can't bear to see her hurting like this. Please help. Thanks again. All right. So the girl is dating a loser. I get a lot of emails like this about guys asking me how to step to girls who have a loser boyfriend, and they know a woman who has a boyfriend that they're complaining about. And this is a big phenomenon now, women dating losers, especially in the black community. A lot of black women will gravitate towards the raggediest, rustiest nigga they can find and then complain that ain't no good men. So why is that? Why are sisters gravitating, and women in general, gravitating towards losers, thugs, gangsters, hoodlums, blah, blah, blah? There's a new song out by the singer Fantasia talking about hood boy. She wants a thug, and then she has a video full of thuggish niggas in the video. So why is that? Why are sisters gravitating towards the thugs? Well, I have five general reasons why. And we're going to touch on each of those five reasons. Reason number one, I think that a lot of women date thugs and losers and scrubs, especially sisters. Number one is the need to go through a rebellious dating stage. I'm going to touch on that in a minute. Reason number two is lack of a father figure. Reason number three is because a lot of women have masochistic tendencies. Reason number four, a lot of women simply have low expectations. And reason number five, a lot of women do this to try to control the relationship. Now, I'm going to break all those reasons down. Now, reason number one, why I think a lot of women especially sisters, will gravitate towards the losers and the thugs and the guys who don't quite have themselves together, is because a lot of women, or most women, have to go through a reckless dating stage. They have to go through a rebellious dating stage, dating guys just simply for the joy factor, for the thrill factor, for the excitement factor. Trying to be dangerous, trying to be on the edge without worrying about any kind of repercussions. Now, a lot of women go through this stage. Unfortunately, a lot of black women stay in this stage, or they get into this stage and try to have long-term relationships with their reckless dating partners. Again, all women have to go through a stage where they can date a guy without any kind of repercussion, just for the moment, the thrill of the rush type thing. A lot of women grow out of that stage. Unfortunately, a lot of black women have to grow up early on in life. You got to take on mature responsibilities in the black community. A lot of sisters are forced to have to do this. And I always say, what you don't complete in life, you will ultimately repeat. If you don't do something as a child, if you don't do childlike things when you're a child, you're going to do those things later on in life. And I talked about this before, how like people criticize Michael Jackson, but when Michael Jackson was a kid, he couldn't play with other kids. He was handling business. So as he became an adult, he got merry-go-rounds and roller coasters in his yard trying to relive something that he did not complete. A lot of people go through these regressional stages. Sometimes a lot of men go through it. It's called a midlife crisis. A lot of men wanted to go through that player stage that they couldn't really go through as a child. So when they get a little money and get options, they do that later on in life. Well, women are the same way. Because a lot of women had to grow up at a young age and take on all these responsibilities, when they become adults, they take on childlike dating tendencies. They date reckless-ass dudes for the thrill and the excitement, totally disregarding the repercussions that come with that, which is something you just can't do when you're an adult. And I'm talking to the ladies out there, to the sisters in particular. Now, I know when you're 15 and 16, it's kind of cute to date a thug, a little nigga with braid and got his little Amarion baby hair on the side. You're selling weed. But when you become an adult, that shit ain't cute no more. Who we got on the phone? Hello? Hello? Who's calling? What's your name? Where you calling from?
Okay, so we'll just stop it right there because we'll take a break shortly. But let me just run through, let me open back up the mics here. Let me just run through the 5 points that he touched on. 5 general reasons why women are dating losers. Number 1, rebellious dating stage. I think I went through a rebellious dating stage. Lack of a father figure. So you don't have that father figure there to show you how a man is to interact with a woman. A man, that first male in your life to show you that love and affection. So women are forever seeking that. And then masochistic tendencies. Want to be in control. So you date this dude, brother, that doesn't have it together, can't really think for himself, can't make decisions, good decisions, proper decisions. So you know that you can control the relationship because he's just not equipped to. He doesn't have the wherewithal to be the man in the relationship. So you want to be the man, wear the pants. Then low expectations. Some women just have low expectations. And then the whole control factor of it all. So we'll pick back up on those 5, and I want to hear from you what you think. We may play the second part of that video because he kind of goes into a little more. He elaborates a little bit more on those 5 points. So let's take a quick break, and then we will come right back in with our
This is Brother Elliot, host of Time for an Awakening, and you're listening to Black Talk Radio Network, new media for the new millennium.
And we are back here at the Lotus Place, 641-715-3660. And the code is 549032 pound. And don't forget to press star 61 if you have a question or a comment for us tonight. So, that first one, let's talk about that first one. And I think I'll play, just the second part of this tape, the rebellious dating stage. Has anyone ever gone through that rebellious dating stage where you just had to go date that thug or had to go and date that person that you know all your friends and family members said is no good for you, but you wanted to date him anyway? I know I've gone through that. What about you, Icy Hot or Delta?
Absolutely not. I have not ever wanted to be with anybody, and we didn't call them that back in the old days. What my mom called them was a lowlife. We didn't deal with lowlife.
Lowlife.
And her girls better not bring up no piece of trash, they called them.
Ooh,
and we didn't want them. Right. And we just didn't want them. It was like, hey, ew, yuck. For us. So, no, never went through a rebellious stage like that. And then, I guess I could say, it was something like you always wanted something better, even than yourself. You wanted someone educated. You wanted someone that you would not be ashamed of, that could kind of roll in any conversation with any group of people. You wanted intelligence. We were taught to select intelligence. And nothing at all like that. But there were maybe a few women around that we knew of or young people that did seek that kind of person out. But they were so rare, very rare. One comes to my mind now, we always wondered, what does Connie want with that hoodlum? She was an educated lady, had a lovely place, so maybe she was going through a rebellious stage or whatever. But one thing about, is it Tyree is his name?
Tyree.
He kept talking about black women doing that. And he kept saying, especially black women. I think he was kind of bashing black women because being in Minnesota, there are a lot of white girls that's all they want. And white women. They would not, it would be somebody that a black woman wouldn't even think of even having a dinner or lunch with, in terms of a relationship with them. And they would be truly the bottom of the barrel. So I don't think this is a black woman phenomenon at all. I really don't.
Anyway,
he kept saying especially black women when I didn't quite agree with that part. I think it cuts across all cultures like most everything else. I think it's probably, for me, it's mostly probably dealing with women with and girls with low self-esteem, number one, or number two, they're thinking like Delta Cougar was saying, they're just thinking of sexuality and maybe that is a sexual connection with those kinds of individuals and had a lot of practice because that's all they do rather than go and work every day and go to school and have other dimensions. So they become real good at pleasing women intimately. And so they can, and those women that's high on their priority list, and that's what they're getting ruled by, chasing after that kind of person. It may be sexual more than anything, or either like low self-esteem, is another one I would say more so than that. And I do believe, I agree with him, it perhaps has something to do with the father figure that the woman starts out with. And she has no father figure, or she doesn't have, and I think it's at the very beginning or the early stages of it, like I have expressed many times before, even though my biological father passed when I was very young, it was already me that this is what a man is like. He dotes over you, he loves you, he gives you everything you want, and, you know, kind of spoiled brat syndrome. And so, that being said, I think it does have a lot to do with the interaction of a male father figure in your early years as a girl.
Yeah, I certainly agree with that. I think having that figure there in the home early helps a young woman to grow up to know, like, what to expect, what to accept, and what not to accept. Because you can see that interaction between the parents, and you kind of have some sense of what a relationship should be like or shouldn't be like. Versus
not having
the man there. That's what I think. Yeah, I can definitely see now. The number two, the lack of a father figure, yes. I know I definitely can relate to that because it took me a while to learn, like, what to expect from men. And I was always looking, and I think that's why I always grew up dating older men, too, because I was always looking for that father figure, that older love from a man that I didn't get from my father. And that's a serious psychological drama that I have to deal with, too, growing up. We can do a whole show on that. How that affects women in their relationships. Mm-hmm.
And seeing also, now I was taught a different reason why to date older men. As a young lady coming into maturity and, you know, getting ready to date, my mother taught us to date. She have always told us this. I can remember from little bit of girls, she would always say, get somebody older than you. She said, get somebody about 10 years older than you. She said, because they settle. They have been out there and they settle. She said, if you get somebody young, they not settle. They're not going to take care of you. And they're going to be running buck wild. So my mother taught us to go and get somebody that was settled. And now we got a couple of my sisters and them. I say about maybe three or four of them married guys. They own age, you know, a couple of years older. But most of us, we all married somebody just about maybe 8, 9, 10 years older than us. And all our husbands are settled just about, you know, everybody. Mm-hmm. The majority of the girls are married to older men that are still with the husband or the husband's parents. And then we looked at them at their jobs and their potential and what they had. I'm just being honest. You don't want to go and get somebody, well, I put it like this. I know I don't. I want to get somebody flipping burgers at Burger King. And don't get me wrong, I don't mean to down nobody, Lord forgive me, I don't mean to down nobody flipping burgers at Burger King. It's an honest living, but that just not for me. And so I just didn't want that, you know, even though my husband did manual labor, you know, blue collar labor, you know, but it was, he made a very, very good living in order to take care of us. But, I just can't see myself doing it. And, I do believe it plays a great part when a father's not in the home. I don't care what nobody say. The women may cut their hair like a man, have the titties cut off, or however they want to say it, have the titties cut off like a man. Try to walk around and deepen their voice like a man. That's not what God intended for it to happen. It's nothing like a father figure being in the home. And I, you know, my grandson, let me kind of give you an example. My grandson the other day,
was getting in trouble at school. Now, this is my son that had the teeth missing out the front. And forgive me for saying that. But we had to go out to the school because my grandson, he would speak out. He wouldn't raise his hand like all the other kids. He would just speak out what he wanted. He'll say, if I want a pencil, he just hollered out across the room. And the teacher was saying, no, you got to raise your hand. So I took my son and me and my son, we went out there. He said, Mama, come on, go with me. So we went out there because my son is raising him just about. So I said, okay, we go out there. But I stayed back. The teacher walked my son to the library. And I stood back, and I noticed when my grandson, the teacher called him out the classroom and called him outside. When he saw my son, oh my God, you can tell his whole mannerism, it just dropped. He just went into like a drop panic mode. But more, I ain't gonna say more of a panic mode, but I mean like more, you know, he knew his daddy mean business. He knew that his daddy was at that school. He knew his daddy mean business. And his daddy talked to him. His daddy didn't let him look at me. But this is what I'm trying to say. But when my grandson turned and got ready to walk back inside and he saw me and he had the biggest smile on his face when he saw me. But what I'm saying is, just by his father appearing, said it all. You get what I'm saying? So we knew his father's in, you know, when he knew what time of day it was with his father.
He knew it was time to straighten up when he saw his daddy there.
That is what I'm trying to say. But with me, he ain't gonna really give me that like that. I have to really get on him. But with his daddy just began to walk in there, his daddy just walked in there and called for him. And you would have thought the world came to the end. But, and that's what I'm saying, we need fathers in the home. And people don't realize, young ladies don't realize, and young black boys and young white boys too, a lot of them doing it too, because they don't realize how important it is to be in their kids' lives and really not having so many babies from different women. You need to be able to focus on your offspring that you bring into this world. You need to be able to focus on them. And also in the community, we need to, when we have children that lose their father in tragedies and children that don't have fathers in the home, we need men to really step up, older gentlemen to step up and try to mentor kids today. But the problem is we don't have that anymore. When we was coming up, me and Miss Hattie just a few years older than me, when we was coming up, if your mother and father, if there was no man or nothing in the home or stuff like that, the people in the community came forward and stepped up. Yeah. But now you don't have that anymore. And that's the most sad thing about it. We have lost our community, our sense of community, where everybody in the community raised the kid. Everybody raised them.
Yeah, because I know my father, he does that with a couple of women at the church, the church that he's a member of. And there's one lady, he's been helping her with her two boys for as long as I can remember. I mean, I even had to ask him one time, is that your child? Because, I mean, he was, like, really, really involved in these two young boys' lives. And, you know, as I grew older, I realized, you know, no, those are not his children. He's just doing what men should do. He noticed that this woman, a friend of his, a church member, lady in the community, she was trying to raise two boys by herself. I don't know what happened to the father. I don't know. And he stepped in. And, I mean, he's still a part of their lives. I know he came here to Texas to visit one of them. here in San Antonio just a few months ago. So this young boy, he's in the military now. I know my dad helped him get into college and all of this. I mean, he helped him all throughout school and everything. So you're right, Delta, we need more men just to step up. And I know there are a lot of men doing those things. I know years ago we used to hear a lot about, what is it, 100 black men? But I don't really hear a lot about 100 black men or 100 black women anymore. So I don't even know how active those organizations are in the community. So, you know, I'm glad that there are people that just take it upon themselves just to step in and do the work, because you can't always, you know, wait on some organization to have some kind of fundraiser or some campaign or something. Sometimes you just have to initiate that yourself. But I agree with you on that, Delta. We need people to step
and then
up
and also, I don't mean to cut you off, also, too, like Louis Farrakhan was saying, and I listen at a lot of his literature, and I like a lot of his literature and a lot of things that he is saying. And like he was saying, we need men that don't drink, don't smoke. We need men that don't put tobacco in their bodies and different things. We need good men with good morals. And that's really one thing I admire Louis Farrakhan about, because he'll tell you in a minute that we don't want that mess in here. We're going to put you out of the organization. You cannot come up in here living any kind of way and disgracing this organization. They will throw you out. And they have a lot of mentor programs for young men and stuff. And see, that's really good. And that's, we don't got away from that in our community. We don't have time anymore. And the problem is, and a lot of people get offended when we say this, we got too many babies having babies. And they go to spitting them out, and they don't know when to stop. And then you have, no, it's sad, but you have so many, and the kids are getting neglected. They don't have the things that they need. And the mothers are overwhelmed because the fathers are nowhere to be found. Then the sad thing about it, you used to have grandmothers in the community that used to step up and take the grandchildren and help, you know, put them in the right way and stir them in the right way. But now you got a lot of grandmothers are so young, now they'll tell you, I got my own life to live.
That's
and
true.
They do, they'll tell you in a minute, no, I got my own life. I ain't got time for that. We're not going to do this. I'm not going through this. I'm not going to do it. And see, and we got to come out of that. We got to come back and think about our future.
Let me ask you this, Delta, because like what you just said about how, okay, like the women, they have babies, and then the father's not there, and then, you know, they're women that they meet men, and then they want to have a male figure there for their son, and so then they start being in relationships with these men, and then they move them in because they want the male there. So are they trying to do that, but maybe they're just doing it too soon? Maybe they're, you know, meeting guys, you know, 1 week, and then the next week they move them in, because I know.
No, you got it wrong, baby. You got it wrong. You got that wrong. They don't wait a week now. You got that wrong, baby.
I have
three sons. And my boy told me he had met girls and went home and stayed the same night with them.
Yeah.
And never left. Yeah. And they and the boys, and what kind of man in their right mind want a woman that you can take home the same night that you meet her, you can take her home and lay her down? What kind of man in their right mind wants that kind of woman?
And then stay there with her.
You know, a lot of them stay there. A lot of the men now staying there because they want work. And they call themselves food stamps. And they go there because the girls have food stamps and Section 8.
And then the guys get the food stamps too. You know, it used to be a time, you couldn't, well, I know. there was a time when I didn't meet men and they would tell you they didn't have any money or didn't have a job or something like that, or going to get food stamps. They would go out and find a job or make a job or find some money or borrow some money to take you out or to, you know, have money in their pocket or be able to give you some money. They would borrow money from a friend so that they could give it to their woman. But nowadays, man, I tell you, in a minute, I don't have no money. I don't have no money. You know, just as plain and simple, like that's cool. Like, what? But why don't you have any money, or why aren't you trying to work, or why aren't you trying to build something? I know we all go through our ups and downs, but I mean, just to continuously live that life, just like, I don't have to work, or I can just work a dead-end job or whatever, or just no ambition whatsoever. And a lot of women, they're okay with that. I mean, and is that okay? I mean, it may be okay for some people. I mean, that's what I want to know. Like, is that okay?
Okay.
Is that okay? I mean, so, is that something that women should start?
It's like, just like Issa Hatt said, I heard Issa Hatt said, when she looked for a man, she looked for a certain character man.
Right.
And we all know Issa Hatt is very, very educated. And Issa Hatt says, when she looked for a man, she looked for one that's on her level and very, very educated. She's not going to sell it for anything. Issa Hatt says she's not going to do it. And so what we're saying is, there's a lot of them, they sell for this. And they don't care. They content with it. They just content with it. And so what I'm saying is, it's what you want out of life. See, let me tell you something. Some people want a lot out of life.
Uh-huh.
And some people is content with just the basics.
Yeah.
Some people are content with being very, okay, like for instance, like my husband has a daughter. He has one daughter. And his daughter, she told her daddy, she said, "Daddy, I would never have any kids. Never." And I think she'll be 40. She don't have any kids. But she's very, very business oriented. Every time you look up, she's going back to school. She's going back to school. And she hadn't got married. She's always going back. Every time you look up, going to get some type of degree. And she got all types of masters in different things. Now, don't get me wrong. You can go a little overboard, but that's her thing. That's what she wants. She's not selling for anybody in the need for education. And that's what some people want. And some people content with a man working at Burger King. Some people content with a man just laying up at the house, not doing anything. Some people are content. So some people want a lot out of life, and some people don't. Everybody don't want that. Some people want, if they can just pay their lights and water, they content.
Uh-huh.
Well, some
and I'd rather a man work at Burger King, and at least he's trying to do something, than to, you know, just not work at all, not do anything, not try to strive for anything. Because, I mean, you can go out here and collect some of these pallets, like what I'm doing. Collect some of these pallets and try to refurbish pallets and make the pallets into furniture or art and sell that. So, I mean, there are a lot of things that people can do. That's why I'm really hard on people when they just don't want to work at all, don't want to try to establish some type of income, because you can establish income. I have a friend that is paralyzed from the waist down. He does not work outside of the home, but he works. And he doesn't have to ask anybody for money to do anything for him. He can take care of himself. And so that's why I'm really hard on people, especially when I see these men, especially black men, standing outside on the corner begging for money. And I know some people do it as a, just a game, as a hustle. But I'm just saying, like, for those people that just don't want to work at all, men that just sit around, and then the women that choose these men, you know, because women, we really have the power to really uplift our men and help our men. It's just like with the sagging pants. If women would tell these men, hey, pull your pants up when you come over here, or mothers would tell their sons, pull your pants up when you go outside, all that stuff would stop. All of that stuff would stop. You know, so if women are accepting certain behaviors, then, you know, men, they just continue with it. And I was saying this to somebody. I may have been saying this to you earlier today, Delta. I can see why so many men come at some of us the way that they do because of the type of women that they're encountering. Some of the women that just really accept anything. They accept any type of behavior. And so when a woman like myself, when I don't accept that type of behavior, then I'm viewed as difficult, you know, or I'm being argumentative or I'm being unreasonable because I want you to show me a little more respect. You know, I don't want you to call me at 9 o'clock Friday night to ask me to go out somewhere. You know, if you knew you wanted to go out Friday night, then how come you didn't call me earlier in that week and set up the date, set up the engagement so that I can get prepared and then we can go out and have a nice time, you know? So, and that's just one of my rules. You know,
because tell me what decent woman getting ready to go out with a man who would want to fix themselves up, old as I am, and a lot of people, my sons and my husband, they say, where are you going? I say, nowhere, I'm just putting my clothes on. I get up in the morning time, I put my makeup on, my lipstick on, I get my face together. I'm just a person, I don't want to go looking any kind of way. If you take me somewhere, and when I was dating, if you take me somewhere, that just me. I'm going to come out looking like $1 million, and I can't help it. That just me. That I'm not putting on no front, no nothing. That just me. And
you want to look nice.
I want to look nice. And there's nothing wrong with it. But you got a lot of hood rat. Did you get that picture that I sent you that somebody took of the young lady? You know when I get something crazy, I always send it to y'all. Somebody posted on Facebook where this black girl was down at McDonald's. She had on tennis shoes, y'all, and she looked like she about a size 22 or 24. And she had on the little halter top, looked like it was a size 2 or 3 for a little girl. And she had on the little pants, looked like it was a size 2 for a baby. And somebody saw her. I think it to you, somebody saw her in McDonald's with that. And then she was standing up there waiting on her order for her food. And somebody snapped that picture of her and posted it on Facebook. Now, don't you know them people having a killing day laughing with that? Because when I seen it, I bust out, start laughing. I said, what in the H is this?
Oh, Lord have mercy. I know. That's how bad she looked.
And we got to stop that.
Yeah, I'm the same way when I go out, I want to look decent. I want to have myself together. I don't want to have to rush. But I want to look nice. You know, and that's what we as women do when, and I don't know if men know that, and I don't know if they take all of that into consideration. You know, we want to have ourselves together. I don't want to like, oh, last minute. Yeah, let's go out to dinner and a movie. And now I got to try to pull something together. Did I go get my nails done this week and my pedicure? Is my hair together? You know, thankfully I have my little hair, you know, natural. But say, for instance, for some women that need to go to the beauty shop and have their hairstyle, I mean, if your hair is not styled, then what do? And some women can't style their own hair. So that's why I'm really
but some about a man nothing wrong with wearing weave. There's nothing wrong with wearing natural. Whatever makes you happy and whatever keeps you looking and looking good. Because you not know, my husband would tell me,
okay, you need to go get your hair done. You need to get your weave done. It's time to get it done. I don't get offended with that. When Papa tells me that, I get right on up. He's paying for it. I get right on up and go get my hair done. We cannot let ourselves look any kind of way. And young girls have to take pride in themselves. And a lot of them, they'll have a string of bitters behind them. And they'll have these halter tops. They have like little ducks walking behind them. They have a whole string of them.
Yeah.
And they be walking behind them. And they have, they have on clothes that sold as a mother. Oh, and listen, my grandson, I just thought about something. That's why I jumped. I got to
jump. Well, wait a minute. Hold that one until we come right back on the other side of the break and tell us about that story. And then we'll listen to a little bit more of this, why these women are dating these losers. All right, let's go to break. So take that.
This is Brother Elliot, host of Time for an Awakening, and you're listening to Black Talk Radio Network, new media for the new millennium.
Okay, and we are back in Delta. You were talking about, who is this now, your nephew or your son?
No, my grandson the other morning. I was taking my grandson to school. We was running a little later. My grandson is 7. Now imagine this 7-year-old. And he said, "Grandmama, Grandmama, your hair, your hair." And what happened is I had put the makeup on and everything else, but I hadn't brushed my hair down. It was kind of sticking up. But I needed the hair brush. But I knew the hair brush was in the car. I had left my hair brush in the car. So I was going to brush my hair when I got in the car. But I'm saying to say this, imagine a 7-year-old seeing my hair and telling me, "Grandmama, your hair." Now imagine you going out on a date and looking like a hot hooker from the hookers of L.A. And so imagine. Imagine your appearance. If a young child that's 7 can notice that my hair wasn't brushed, now you can imagine how the young kids noticing how you dressing.
Yes.
And who want a man? Can I say this, Black Rose?
Yes.
Man, I'm going to be quiet.
Oh, you're fine.
Who want a man that's walking around and his shorts is showing, and they so dingy and half black? Who wants that?
It's apparently a lot of women.
And then they walk through the grocery store with them, and they making groceries while he holding his pants up and pushing on the bucket. What kind of mess is that? I know some of y'all have seen it, because I've seen it multiple times.
I see it all the time, almost every day. But again, you know, it's the type of women. It's the type of women that are selecting these types of men. So the women need
one
to
of them,
help.
They just want to say that they got a man. You don't have a real man. You don't have a real man and a real provider. Because a real man and a real provider is not going to go around looking any kind of way. They just want. They just saying they got some britches. That's all they got.
Well, but is it because they don't have a father there to kind of talk to them about their dress, or I mean, can they look at images in a magazine or on TV and see? Well, I shouldn't have my pants down. No one else has their pants down when I go into this business or whatever. I don't see that at school. I don't see the teachers at school wearing their pants down. I mean, so where do we
but
draw the line on
this? Does from these, I can tell you exactly where they get it from. They get it from these rappers. I'm going to send you a picture of Jay-Z and Beyonce.
Uh-huh.
It's a new picture. Somebody just posted them. JC has, JC, whatever they call him, Jay-Z has a black hat, a knit hat on his head, like a tam. Then he also have black eyeglasses on. Beyonce has on a dress and a half of a skirt. Look like the LA housewife, the hookers. She got black fishnet stockings. It's cut kind of hanging long in the back, but in the front it's cut real short.
Uh-huh.
And it's running up her thigh. You can see all the way up to her thigh. And she got on these black fishnet stockings and high heels. And JC, JB, or whatever y'all call him, is holding his hand around her waist close to where you can go into her thigh. The young folks see all this. What decent man wants his wife showing her flesh like that?
Well, I think Michelle Obama said that Beyonce was a good example for young girls.
Well, she need to get somewhere and sit down then, because she's stupid. If she said that, she's stupid.
Well, you know, one of the things that we keep giving the rappers credit for, and I think the first person that brought all of this sexual revolution was the guy that opened up the Playboy mansion. He's kind of the one that put all this stuff out there like that and made it okay at the kind of the sexual revolution.
Okay.
And I mean, that's what I think. That has been going on, I think, since about then. I think he's the one that kind of put that open on the market like that, that look that you just described. As a matter of fact, his look was even, you know, less clothing on you than what Beyonce wears normally. You know, you've seen him.
Yeah, well, Hugh Hefner, yeah, he used to walk around in his little smoking jacket. So, I mean, not only did he just not, like, have all his clothes on or whatever, he just walk around with his little smoking jacket on. He's just letting you know, hey, easy access, let's get it going.
Mm-hmm. I think he's the cornerstone of the, you know, kind of the, that giving credence.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting. You know, I never thought to walk it back to Hugh Hefner and the Playboy bunnies and all the little
I think he legitimized all of that. You know.
Okay. The fancy dressed women in public.
Yeah. With the little, you know, little Playboy bunnies. Don't you remember?
Mm-hmm.
When that all kind of started, you may be a little young for that, but
I remember the Playboy Bunny. I remember it. I mean, that's when it became legitimized. That's probably true too, but if you look, a lot of these boys a lot of these young boys emulate these rappers. And Lil Wayne and different ones, all of them started sagging their pants. And the rappers made this sagging stuff okay. And it just took off with the young kids in the black community.
I remember seeing sagging was Tupac, but he didn't sag with his butt hanging out. He just kind of had the top part of his brief showing. I think that was like the little style, like to show that you have on these little Calvin Klein briefs or whatever. That was when Calvin Klein briefs for men were kind of popular, or the boxers or whatever. But I don't ever recall Tupac sagging to the point where it's like the young boys are sagging now, like with their butt showing, like the pants, like down below their butts. I mean, they deliberately pull them down, some of them. So.
Yeah, but I thought that didn't come even from there, but it came, it was popularized in the penitentiary system.
Yes.
And when those guys, so many of the black young men were coming in and out of the penal
prison
system, then that's what they kind of started doing that and legitimizing that look.
Yeah.
Because they didn't, I don't know. They didn't get a belt or something.
I don't think you can walk around in prison without a belt on and your clothes sagging. You can't do that. You can't do that. I'm telling you, I keep up with it. I have not. This I kind of know a little. I'll call my nieces and nephews. I got a lot of them. And the rappers done this. I'm telling you, these young folks emulate these rappers. And look, a Fantasia came out. Remember, it was a big mess back here about a few months ago. Fantasia was on the war, and they was she was singing a gospel song, and Fantasia was, you go pull it up, she was dressed in solid white dress, and I think she was singing Amazing Grace, I think, or something. And when Fantasia walked out, she had a split, y'all, all the way up to her nunu. It was all the way there in the front, singing Amazing Grace. Then you got another big controversy. Now, this one just came out back here. It ain't even been a month. Excuse me, Leonda, the one that won Sunday Best. Y'all remember her? She's from New Orleans. Leonda Johnson. The girl.
I don't remember her, but I remember Sunday Best, the show. I don't have cable anymore, so I can't watch Sunday Best. So what about this girl?
She won Sunday Best. And so what happened is, it's on my Facebook page. I'll check it to you. So she came out, and you know, she called herself preaching and got a church in Atlanta. And she, after she won Sunday Best, she was saying she was homeless and all like this, and she won. Now the girl just you can't take it away from her. God has.
This is not a recent young lady. This is somebody that won a few years back. She was like,
that is correct, from New Orleans.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's
I remember her.
That's her.
I remember her.
That's who I'm talking about. Now that gal there can just flat out sing.
Yes,
the same way. Our music, God have just gifted her. She did a performance the other week. They had an award show on. She's singing a gospel song. And y'all, she got her titties sitting up like Nicki Minaj. And that's the dress that she was wearing. And see, that's what I'm saying. People see this stuff from these celebrities. Now somebody just took the same girl, Leonda Johnson, the one doing her. She was homeless from Hurricane Katrina, sleeping in a car. So what happened is, she was at her home. She was at her own home now. She gets and go talk to her friends. Let me rephrase this because I'm going to send you the clip. She says she's talking to her fans.
Okay.
But she's talking to them through this thing called Skype or something. They got she was using another little name for it, though. But she was talking to them and they could see her.
Like a video conference.
Video conference, yeah.
And the girl was setting up
drinking. Somebody, I guess, was filming her back. I don't know how they got it some kind of way, so they had to be filming her back or whatever. Leanna was sitting up drinking, and she was drinking so horrible, and she went to talking to, I mean, I just got to see the video, but anyway, make a long story short, young folks are immortalizing these people, and to see this woman this away on TV so drunk, and she has five. Yes, I must send you the thing. Oh, baby, it's a big controversy. They banning her from certain things now.
Oh, my.
She's smoking her cigarette and drinking and all. Somebody filmed it. And she was drunk and she was talking back. And she didn't realize what she was saying. They was filming her.
Oh.
And her husband told her to get off that thing. That what y'all said here, and she wouldn't get off. And she told him, yes, I'm drinking, and told him what kind it was, and this was her liquor. But anyway, that's beside the point. That's not what I'm trying to make. Well, I guess it is in a sense. But what I'm saying, the young folks see this, and they emulate these people. They emulate. Think about it. If you think they don't emulate them, look how they emulated Michael Jackson. They emulate all these big stars. They emulate Kanye West. They emulate the Chris Brown. They ripped in and Lil Wayne. Everybody wants to sing with Lil Wayne. Now, this is the truth. All the major white celebrities, everybody wants to do a record with Lil Wayne. Because they said, wherever Lil Wayne, this is a true fact. I know this for a true fact here. Lil Wayne, they said everything he touched turns into gold. Everybody wants to do a song with Lil Wayne. So these people see that Lil Wayne got his pants all sagging, and Lil Wayne is just covered in tattoos from his head to his toe. I went to the store the other day to get some gas. I guess y'all said I'm rambling on like Mr. Brown tonight. I went to the store to get some gas. And this is no lie. It scared me so bad.
What happened?
I saw a Caucasian man. The man wasn't doing nothing to nobody. He wasn't bothering nobody. But the man was covered. Oh, my God. Y'all, you couldn't even hardly see his eyes. He had the whole face tattooed. Oh, my God. His whole face was tattooed. His whole top of his head. Your face?
Yeah, well, they even tattoo their eyeballs now. You haven't seen that? They tattoo their eyeballs. They tattoo the inside of their mouth. Yeah, they tattoo their eyelid, eyeballs, all of that. And see, now, Lil Wayne, yes, they love Lil Wayne because Lil Wayne, he talks all that trash. Lil Wayne promotes homosexuality. And all of that stuff. So yeah, Lil Wayne, he's a superstar. He's exactly what some of the media, what they want to promote to us. A little old tattooed, gremlin looking little character singing about killing people, giving people drugs, women kissing women and men kissing men and all of that stuff. But he's a hot item. He's a hot ticket. I mean, he's the one that brought out Nicki Minaj. And, she promotes bisexuality and all of that. And, you know, I was watching something on YouTube the other day talking about, gay hip-hop people and all of that stuff. And they were showing, like, the little clips of Lil Wayne kissing Birdman and, you know, all of that stuff. And they were saying, yeah, this is how we get down. You know, I love him and blah, 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 blah. So, yeah, they like all of that stuff. So, yeah, I can see everybody wanting to do a video with Lil Wayne.
Yeah, because this is what they're saying. They emulating them. And see, women want stuff that they see. Crazy women, I put it like this. Crazy women. Now, look at Sandra Bullock.
Misguided women.
look at Sandra Bullock. Think about Sandra Bullock, the famous actress. Do you know she's been on the media again? She done picked up another man. And they said this man that she picked up is bad news and bad trouble.
Like the last one she had.
No, the new one she got.
No, I'm saying, so this one's supposed to be bad news.
This one, this,
she
yeah,
was involved with some other man and some other stuff.
And they said she don't like good guys. They said Sandra Bullock like real rough, edgy, rough takers and edgy men. They said she loved the bad boys.
Power for the force, just like I talked about earlier today. See, he said it was black women picking them men.
Yeah.
Here you have a millionaire movie star picking them.
Yeah, that's what they said today.
White.
Because the last person she was involved with, something happened because...
Jesse James?
Was it Jesse James?
Jesse James ran off with the tattoo girl.
Okay. Well, like I see how I said, it's not just black women that select these, and I like the way they call the white men edgy, but then the black men are thugs. That's really cute. Okay. That's really
cute.
Yeah,
that's what they call him.
Edgy. He's edgy. Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm.
Our black men can't be edgy. They just got to be broke down thugs, huh?
And just like they tried to use the other black guy that was going to play James Bond.
Oh, Idris. Idris.
And then, remember, you heard the controversy about him. The black guy that's going to play James Bond. They, you know, have you heard of that controversy? They said, the white man said he couldn't play James Bond. He was too street.
He was too street?
They said he was too street.
He's too edgy.
He's too ghetto is what they're trying to say.
He does have this reputation for being like a bad boy, English boy, like English boy, black bad boy type of guy, whatever. But I like Idris Elba. I think he's hot. I think he's sexy. I think he's fine as hell. And Lord have mercy. You go ahead on and play your James Bond if that's what you want to do. I'll sure watch it. Doggone.
But he can,
that would be the only one I would watch.
Yeah, he has a great little series on Netflix called Luther, where he's playing a
Do we have a family?
He's a good actor.
Do we have a family?
Yeah, he's got the lady that he played in Selma.
He played Selma.
Not Idris. The lady that played in there, I don't know what her name is, but she's, yeah, he has a baby with her. Their baby should be about a year old now.
Oh, really?
They were together last I heard, but they had not gotten married.
Oh, Miss. Mm. Oh, I said, hi. You know, they don't do that no more. They don't marry Harlan no more. They get the cow baby. And pull the milk out and suck it until it's all gone. And once they suck that milk out that cow, they move on to the next cow. So they said, I can go get more free milk somewhere else.
Oh, my goodness.
Mama said, why buy the cow when you can pull the milk
out? When you can get the milk. So women, don't let the men get all the milk without buying the cow. Now, that's an old adage that we've been saying for years. Like the old folks say, for years. And without letting that man get that milk, without buying that cow, then don't complain when he run off and leave you with those cows. Don't be upset when you left holding what you call Delta Cougar.
All them biddies. All them
you with
bitties,
the string
man.
Of biddies. Mm-hmm. Leaving you with the
string. Well, when the streets leave somebody with a string of biddies, that's a problem for him because guess what? He's going to have to pay big money because he's getting ready to make it.
Oh.
Yeah.
So what about the
that's
women with low,
better.
Low expectations with the men? What can we say about those women? That was number four, low expectations. So if they have these low expectations, how can women turn that around and start expecting more from men so that they won't just be like with a man that just don't want to do anything, don't want to give him anything, don't want to take him anywhere, don't want to spend any time with him. They want to sit up and play the Wii game or Xbox or whatever it is. They don't clean up, won't enter the garbage, can't even have sex good. You know what I'm saying? Or maybe they can't have sex. That may be the thing. Maybe they can have good sex. And so the women.
Well, they may not only have it. They may not even have to have sex. All they may have to do is lick it. And once they lick it and get it ready, honey, that's what they like. That's what the young girls like. They want them to lick it.
They don't even want them to stick it. They just want them to lick it. Is that what you're saying?
They want them to lick it, and they fine with that. And these young girls want them. I'm telling you, all these young girls want them to say they got a man on their arm. They say they got a man on their arm. They happy, but it's more to life than that.
Well, what is it, Delta? Our last
it's like
4 minutes
it's
of the
like
show.
It's like a relaxing. You need a. This is what I was teaching my grandson tonight in the car as I was praying for him, and he's 7. And I told my grandson as I was praying, and I began to tell him, I said, a good man provides for his family and his wife and his kids. And I said, a good man take care of his wife. I said, the wife don't have to do nothing. She don't have to worry about no responsibility. I said, a good man looks out for his home. I said, a good man buys everything that the family need. I was trying to break it down because he was 7 so he can understand. And I said, a good man buys everything for the home. I said, the wife stays home and raises the kids and sees about the kids. And I said, it's the man's responsibility to go out and take care of his family. It's not the woman's responsibility to go out and take care of family. Now, don't get me wrong. It's okay that a woman work if she chooses to work. There's nothing wrong with it. But don't let the woman be the main breadwinner. And that's what's going on now. Too many women, it's the main breadwinner. And women need to step back and let men take charge. And a lot of men do, some men really would like to take charge. But some women got so strong-headed, they take charge. And a lot of the men just step back. But what we need to do as together, we need to sit down as man and woman and sit down and work together and reason together. Now, you got some men can have like a good blue-collar job. He can have a McDonald's job, but he can leave McDonald's and go to Burger King and still make enough to provide for his home.
Uh-huh.
It's how you manage your money, and it's how you teach your kids responsibility. The main thing, you got to teach them about responsibility. Uh-huh. And the main thing, don't give them too much.
Don't give them too much?
You can't give them too much, I mean just money to be thrown away. Take your money and save it and use it wisely. Because when you begin to raise your kids and stuff and your family, men have to have a savings.
And when I say men's working at Burger King and McDonald's and a wife got a job, if you work together, no matter where you work at, and you work together, you can do it. Because they did a show on TV, 2020, did this show, and I never forget it. And they had a young white couple. They was in their 20s, and they got married real young, and this young lady had got pregnant, and they had to get married. And they got married real young, and they had to stay with their family for a while. Then they moved in a trailer. But the young man and woman didn't have no good jobs. And they worked at Burger King and McDonald's. And one of them quit while the other one went and got an education. This is a true story. They one quit and the other one stayed home. And they went and got an education. And they bought their dream home. And after she got her education, he came, she went and let him got her, got his.
Yeah. And they worked together. And I think that that's a great deal. Mm-hmm.
And they worked together and they got a dream and they got, you know, they got everything.
And that's what I'm saying.
You're saying you gotta work together. If you ain't got nobody you can work with and he ain't got nothing he can work with, well, how you going somewhere?
That's right. Well, that's a good note to end on, Delta. Thank you so much for those welcome comments. And we appreciate you. We appreciate you. Actually, we didn't get a chance to read our Women's United statement, so we'll have to come back with that on Sunday. So thank you, everyone, for listening. Have a wonderful night.
And you too. Okay.
Good night.